Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the reading was just read, and we concentrate especially on the following verses. So be dressed to work and keep your lamps burning to light the house. Be like people who are waiting for their Lord to return from a wedding feast. They will open the door for him the very moment he comes and knocks. These slaves are blessed because the Lord will find them watching when he returns. I tell you the truth, their Lord will dress for work, tell them to sit down to eat, will come to the table and serve them. So you must get ready because you do not know at what time the Son of Man will return. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the fall of 1844, there was a very heavy pall of depression descending down upon the Protestant and evangelical community in the United States. You see, many thousands of American Protestants had believed very fervently that the Lord would return at the very beginning of September at Yom Kippur, or at the very latest at Rosh Hashanah in 1844. They had sold their homes, many had given the proceeds to the poor, they had settled old grudges, had gone to people to obtain and to give the forgiveness of sins, had urged to the very last moment that people ought to repent because the Lord was right there at the door and would be there in 1844. They put on robes of white, waited many of them on mountaintops, singing great hymns with great excitement, waiting for the Lord to appear, which they knew was going to happen any second now. An hour passed, 2 hours passed, soon the night passed, and they sort of hid out for weeks on end, not knowing what had happened. After all, that great preacher, that Baptist farmer, William Miller, had studied the scriptures, had produced the proofs, had made elegant charts and graphs, had come through their area and shown them without a doubt that the Lord was coming back in 1843 or, at the latest, 1844. It had all not worked. What had gone wrong? They melted into the countryside, depressed and embarrassed, and some of them to recalculate. 19 years ago, their spiritual descendants followed their example, awaiting the end of this system of all things. When Jesus did not descend to wage the battle of Armageddon, they lost their faith in God's channel of communication on earth, the watchtower, and left the society in thousands. Amillennialism has its advantages, doesn't it? After all, Martin Luther's own "I'd plant an apple tree" answer to when the Lord was to return has kept most Lutherans from falling into these sort of traps. No disappointment, no false ego building, no fevered pitches, no self-interested evangelism campaigns for us. 88 reasons why the rapture is in 88? Not. Yes, indeed. We all know all too well that the end of time cannot be predicted. So, back to life as we know it. Papers and fieldwork and profs, oh my. In the process, we lose our perspective, we lose our place, we lose our preparation. We live life in a decaying world as if it will not come to end. We often avoid pietistic, puffed up zeal for the Lord's return at the cost of readiness. You could say that we're sometimes caught with our tunics down and our lights out. Yet this very moment we may find our Lord knocking, either at the end of the world or at the end of our world. What we need is some sort of balance between the now and the not yet. Our Lord in this passage gives us the wisdom on how to approach the end of time and how to make that a part of our lives. The end of time is not something that we should forget about except for those last 2 or 3 weeks in the Pentecost season and that first, maybe second week of Advent. It is something the Lord would have us fervently look forward to every day of our lives. We are asked by the Lord to repeat the refrain of the end of the book of Revelations, "Amen, Lord, come quickly." To do this, the Lord gives us wisdom in this passage in Luke. The context helps us a little bit not to descend into some sort of pietistic, legalistic fervor about how we prepare. The context I found very useful, and you may want to go back and read it sometime if you have a moment a little later. The context is the Luke version of that well-known, well-loved passage out of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus urges us to not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has plenty of worries for itself. Rather, to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will come to you as well. What the Lord wants us to do to get ready begins with something very strangely Lutheran: to relax, to trust him, to thank him for what he has done for us, to take the gospel, the good news that he has died for our sins, risen again from the dead, and made us his children, both in baptism and in all that he does in his mission to save us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He wants us to trust that he can take care of tomorrow and the day after and eternity and the end of time itself. He asks us to trust in his promise to care for us. And just take a look at the whole message that the Lord has for us in this passage. There isn't any urging that we watch out or else, because if we sin just one too many times, or if we fall to sleep just one too many times, the Lord may just not take us along. He doesn't include anything about some sort of secret rapture which is going to scoop up just those people who are truly worthy and leave the rest of us to suffer with the downfall of the world and the Antichrist and all that the millennialist dream is true about the end. Instead, he says, "I forgive you your sins. You are my children. Have no fear, little flock, for our Lord has chosen to give you the kingdom." Comes in this passage as well. Trust in his promise to save you. Trust in his promise to take care of you. Not only the second or even the third article of the creed, but the first as well. Jesus says, if the Lord will take care of the birds of the field and the flowers that grow there, will he not also take care of you? And indeed, that's true. Once we rest in what the Lord has done for us and is doing for us this very moment, and for his care that he has watching over every event of our lives, being absolutely sure that it all works for our good so that we will be with him forever, we can draw on that strength to focus our lives and to watch and to wait for his coming. With his strength, we can focus our lives, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and seek to do his will. To watch, we look for and pray for the coming of his kingdom. That's not hard to do, really, if you think about it. Sometimes we can get awfully depressed as we look around and watch the way the world conducts itself. One politician after another making grand promises and going off to Washington and Indianapolis and failing very regularly to keep their promises can be very depressing. Watching one tin horn dictator defeated, then ignored for a few years and have him reemerge can be a terribly depressing thing for us. To watch how the world ignores and scoffs what the Lord has said in his scriptures, to see how they abandon the faith and even attack it, can be terribly depressing if we think about it. The challenge is not to wallow in it and wonder what's going to happen to me or to my family or to my friends, to wonder how we're going to put bread on the table, or to wonder how we're going to live in a world which might well persecute us. The challenge is instead to look forward to what the Lord has for us, to do, in some sense, what those millennialists and those Millerites have done for so long. And that is each and every day to look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to remember that he will come one day, be it for us at the end of our own lives to usher us into his presence forever, or with the end of time itself, when he will bring an end once and for all to sin, sickness, sorrow, crying, and pain, and cause all former things to pass away. When we live each day knowing that it may well be your last or the very last, there are many things that can help us to deal with all of the troubles of this age. We can allow them to rest in the Lord's hands, knowing that he really cares for us and that he knows the future. Jesus Christ, after all, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we live each day, as Luther counseled us to do, as if it were the first day of the rest of your life or the last day of the rest of it, we will be able to depend upon the Lord for his strength, and there's nothing but nothing that can take away from us the joy of his salvation and the joy of knowing that one day we will be with him in heaven and that he will bring justice on that day. The last thing that we're able to do is to take full advantage of the opportunities given us to witness and to serve. When we're worried about getting that next buck or whether politics are going to shift against us and cause us trouble in our lives, or whether we're going to be able to meet the bills or finish the papers or get that 1.9997 GPA up before Vicarage. When we worry about that, there's no time to be wondering where we can serve, where we can witness. Instead, when we know that the Lord will manage to suffer through the things with us, to solve all of our problems, to bring an end to them and put them in perspective, we can deposit that at his feet and find other things to do with our lives. We can see the opportunities to witness when they occur and seize them. We can see the opportunities to serve and to take advantage of them, so that while the day is evil, yet we still can snap up the bargains which come our way, so that we can take full advantage of the moment for our Lord and Savior, so that many others will enter into his kingdom with us on that day when he really will return. And so watch, as the Lord urges us to do. You don't know when the Son of Man may be coming. That's not a reason to relax, because the Son of Man may well come right now. So watch, pray, rejoice. The end of the world, after all, is not bad news, but is very good news, because it means that God's plan to restore all of creation and to take away sin and death once and for all will be fully fulfilled. So each and every day, pray, O Lord, come quickly. Amen.